Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello, and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everybody doing? I hope you guys are well. Things are going pretty okay for me. You know, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster. I've mentioned it before. Stomach issues, so I'm seeing a doctor and dealing with all of that stuff. And, you know, it's just been the weirdest year. I don't know. This 2020 going into 2021 has just been the strangest. So I'm hoping that everybody else is still holding up and doing well. I have a great guest today, trauma recovery specialist and author Michelle Rosenthal on, and she's going to be joining me in a few minutes. As you guys who listen to me now on a regular basis know, each week I talk about an affirmation and a Magic Monday message. I release them on Mondays. And this week's affirmation is building myself up bone by bone. So each week I take a photograph of a manifesting postcard and I focused on the affirmation on the postcard or something that the postcard inspires. And that's kind of what came to me. And it's crazy because there was no, I didn't plan that this week's was going to be this postcard with my guest, Michelle, because we're going to be talking about trauma today. But this is what this postcard inspired in me before I even realized that today's date was going to be my guest. So it's kind of, I love when that happens. So the affirmation, building myself bone by bone, is what I think that we do after a trauma, whether that's an emotional trauma or a physical one. Many times physical traumas store in our bodies and manifest as pain or dis-ease, and I have been dealing with some issues the last few months, and I am looking for the correlations. If I have any trauma stored in my body, that is now coming to the surface to be addressed. Sometimes we don't even realize it because maybe something happened so long ago, we aren't even thinking of it anymore. But it still could have an emotional component to it. It's from our past, and we may not be hurt, we may not be thinking about it, but when we were going through it, it was very painful. And it wasn't properly processed. Then years later, a stressor can occur and boom, your body has now manifested these issues. So when I say bone by bone, I mean we kind of have to go on some kind of archaeological dig to discover what has been covered up. Where did we bury our stuff? And we need to excavate it. We need to take one out, look at it, dust it off, and heal it. And how do we do that? We do that with self-care. We do that with getting very in tune with what's going on. Maybe we need professional support to look for that, if that's what we feel we need. Changing our daily habits, getting more physically healthy. Those are all things that we can do. And when it's healed, we place it back where it belongs. And it becomes stronger because of how we took care of ourselves and how we took care of it and healed it. So think of this week's affirmation, building yourself up bone by bone, and think of ways that you're doing that. And if you're not doing that, what is it in your life? Maybe it's a physical manifestation that's calling your attention. And where should you be doing that? Remember, we are no good to anyone else when we're not taking care of ourselves, right? Because we just don't have the energy to do it. Now, if you guys want to know the photograph I'm talking about, and each week I always have an image to go with these affirmations, you can see my Magic Monday message postcards if you go to my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, or if you follow me on any of my social media platforms, I'm on all of them. And if you're interested in doing your own inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, manifesting and healing, please check out my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, which you can find on any of your favorite online bookstores. And also, if you feel like you do need some inspiration, I would love it if you join my public Facebook group, Postcards of Love, where I share like inspirational stuff, cute animal stuff, funny stories, anything that makes me feel good. You know, we get enough negativity when we watch the news, so I'm looking for all the feel-good stuff. So you can find me there, and you can also find me on YouTube. Okay, so next week, I'm excited. I have my returning guest, Gregory Possman, on. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's a psychic trance channel, and he channels over 40 light beings, including the archangels and master teachers. And so he always channels on the show live, so he's going to be here channeling again live next week. And if anyone has any specific questions they want me to ask for whomever comes through next week during the live channeling, please email me at postcardstotheuniverse@gmail.com and let me know your questions, and I will ask him when he's here. Okay, to get to my guest today, very excited to talk to her. Trauma recovery specialist Michelle Rosenthal is an award-winning PTSD blogger, award-nominated trauma author, board-certified trauma and PTSD hypnotist, licensed master practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming, and certified professional coach. She's a survivor who overcame more than 25 years of PTSD. Michelle is the author of Before the World Intruded, Conquering the Past and Creating the Future, Your Life After Trauma, and Heal Your PTSD. She frequently appears in the media in such places as CBS, NBC, the Palm Beach Post, Orlando Sentinel, the Washington Post, Newsday, Psychology Today, Ladies Home Journal, and the Dennis Miller Show. If you want to find out more about Michelle, you can look at her website, mytraumacoach.com, and find out more about her. Welcome, Michelle. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Melissa, it's so much fun to be with you. So thank you so much for including me in the calendar today.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Particularly meaningful because this is PTSD Awareness Month. So thank you.
Oh, you did tell me that when we were talking. That's right. It's PTSD Awareness Month. So that's perfect. So it's crazy because when I was doing that, what happens is I'll find a postcard and I'll start to go around it. Like, that's the way my mind works. Like, I don't necessarily pick something specifically for something. And it was a beautiful drawn heart. And I was thinking about the body, and I have all these feathers and bones and stuff, and I collect for like photographs. And I started building up around it, and it made me the affirmation, building myself up bone by bone, made me think about how we have to rebuild ourselves after trauma. And it just kind of fell that it was during your show. So that's so cool. I love when that happens.
Well, there are no coincidences, right?
No coincidences. No, none. Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the, like, just to extend the metaphor even a little more into the scientific realm, as someone who has broken many bones in my lifetime accidentally, and so I've had more than one doctor tell me that when your bone heals, it is stronger in the part where it was broken than any other part of the bone. So I always like that as a metaphor for trauma too, because we're not, but we feel so broken. And I like the idea of moving through recovery makes us stronger than who we were before, which of course it does.
Yeah, I like that too. And I have heard that so before. So thank you for reiterating that. Okay, so why don't you share with the people that listen to my show a little bit about you and your background and how you became a trauma recovery specialist?
So it was not by choice.
Never usually.
The universe calls you, right?
Right. Yes, it does.
So we'll just do the short chronological version. 1981, I was just a 13-year-old kid. You can do the math. That means I'm 53 today. And I grew up in a great family, loving parents, loving little brother. Life seemed okay. And a doctor just made a really egregious error that meant that he ended up prescribing a medication for me that, had he just checked my chart, he would have seen that there were indications that I would be fatally allergic to this medication. And for whatever reason, he didn't check the chart, and nobody had told my family those indicators, so we didn't know. So I took the medication, and essentially the allergic reaction that I had, which is called toxic epidermal necrolysis syndrome, for those science geeks in the audience, It turned me into a full body burn victim almost overnight. And I spent weeks in a quarantine burn unit room in a New York City hospital, and lost 100% of the first couple layers of my skin inside and out, and had a near death experience. So when I came out of the hospital, I knew that I was going to make a full physical recovery. I mean, I've got some scarring, but I, you know, essentially my life was going to be fine. But I was not the same girl who'd gone into the hospital when I came out. And at that time, post-traumatic stress disorder was really only being applied to veterans coming out of Vietnam. So, you know, everybody started labeling me, since I pretty much displayed symptoms right off the bat. I became a difficult teenager, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm an artist. I'm a visual, not a visual artist. I'm a playwright, a director, mm-hmm. a poet. I've always been a writer since before my trauma. So later I was a quote unquote temperamental artist. So there are always labels we can give each other to explain away behavior, mm-hmm. even though it didn't really explain what was wrong. And it took 24 years before I was diagnosed. And then I battled it out for my recovery for a few more years after that. And got where you and I are talking today, simply because by the time I got free of all the nightmares, the insomnia, the digestive disorders, all of the meltdowns of my physical self because of the meltdown of my emotional self, mm-hmm. and the hyper arousal and the anxiety and the fear and all those things, by the time I got done with all of that, I looked back and I thought, oh my God, had you just given me the right information, I could have healed, you know, 3 decades ago. And it became my mission to help other people heal faster than I did. And I just started writing about recovery and what was possible for us. And I was just going to do it. You know, I just did it because I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, after you recover, you change so much after trauma, and you, you don't necessarily like who you've changed into. Mm-hmm. And then after you heal, you just don't really know who you've changed into. It's a period of discovery. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And my brother said, you know, you've always been a writer. Why don't you write about what you just went through, this whole recovery thing that you did? And he said, but don't write it in a journal like you always do. There's this new thing now. It's called a blog. And you should do a blog. So yes. That's how long ago this was, when blogs seemed really special.
Right.
And within 3 weeks, I had veterans writing to me, domestic violence survivors, rape survivors, all of them writing the same thing. How do you know how I feel? Or how did you find the words to describe exactly what happened to me? And I kept saying, I don't know. I'm just saying what happened to me. You know, like, these are the kind of nightmares I'm having. This is the kind of mood swing that I've been, you know, I experienced. And a huge community grew around this blog. It went viral. And then people started asking me for more. And that's why you and I are here today, because I became a trauma recovery specialist because the community that I was serving with education asked me to start helping them move forward. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I better get trained, because right now I'm just sharing my story, but I can't dispense advice until I actually know a little bit more about how to help people. So, so that's how we got to today. That was 16 years ago.
Yeah, no, since the first blog. But so I imagine this 13-year-old girl, because you were still a child, going through this, it must have been extremely scary and painful, because I mean, I'm sure everyone who's listening has burned themselves, just even if you've just burned yourself a little bit where hot oil went back from cooking onto your wrist, you know how painful that is. So to feel your whole body, oh my God, that must have been, I mean, that is traumatic, extremely traumatic.
It was very traumatic. And to exacerbate the physical trauma of it and the fear, none of the doctors knew what was happening to me. There was not a single adult in my world, personal or professional, who knew what was happening or what to do about it. Today, they immediately put these patients into a propranolol, I'm never sure how to pronounce that word, propranolol induced, or propofol, it's one of those. They immediately induce patients into a coma, and they do not bring them out until this is all over. And arguably, I think that's a better way to go through this, because I was completely awake and aware. And I don't want to get into the graphics, because they can be triggering. So I think, we'll just leave that.
Yeah.
But the point that you're making is, at 13 years old, at 3 years old, even at 23 years old, we lack a couple of crucial elements that trauma really requires. Number one is a sense of identity. You do not yet know who you are at those ages, 13 or even 23. So
that's
you don't
point.
Have a sense of, you don't have a sense of your strength, your courage, your ability to survive, and you have no coping mechanisms for this kind of thing. And this is like, someone could be listening and thinking, oh, that trauma is worse than my trauma. And I want to say right now, that's not true, because trauma is an intensely personal experience. I literally have had rape survivors in my office telling me their trauma is not that bad because they haven't been on the front lines of Afghanistan. And I respect and appreciate their respect for our armed forces. And I still say that having your body forcefully invaded by another human being is an enormous trauma.
Well, so, I'm glad you said that, because we're going to take our break here. But when we come back, I'm glad, because I want to talk about how your trauma is personal, and it doesn't matter what it is. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be healed. Stay tuned. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement, where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives. Welcome back. I have trauma recovery specialist and author Michelle Rosenthal with me today, and we're talking about the effects of trauma and PTSD. And Michelle, before the break, you said, you don't like to compare somebody's trauma, because everybody's trauma is extremely personal, and we do not know what happens to one person, how it's going to affect them compared to somebody else, nor should we. Should we, correct?
Absolutely. I think that's so true. I think that so often we have a tendency to minimize and devalue our experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a dangerous thing to do, because first of all, it's not fair to ourselves. If you experience a trauma, and other people may say to you, oh, come on, get over it. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, if it feels like a big deal to you, it is a big deal to you. And it deserves the respect and an approach that helps you resolve it. And I find very little value in the comparison game that either we sometimes fall into by mistake, or that other people put us into just because of their own ignorance. There's a real lack of education in the trauma space. And some people just don't know better. And I understand that, but I also like to point it out so that all of us now are more educated and can spread the word.
Right, exactly. Okay, so yeah, so this is a great segue because I'm going to ask you, so your body's healed now, your physical, you're healed, so but you have PTSD because of it. And others may have had something happen to them and have PTSD and might not even realize that that's what's going on. They can't figure it out. So what does it look like when you're suffering from that?
That's a great question. So you're right. Back in 1981, my body physically healed from my trauma, but my mind did not. My emotional self did not. My spiritual self did not. Mm-hmm. And so let's just talk. I mean, now my mind, my body, my spiritual self, they're all gloriously playing in the light of recovery. But back then, nobody pointed out to me, look, here's a snapshot of PTSD. So, but first let's talk about acute trauma. Because okay. Acute trauma is the experience that anyone would have up to 4 weeks after, let's just say, a car wreck, the death of a loved one, okay. some kind of accident, some kind of major medical trauma, whatever it is, a natural disaster. So the first 4 weeks, the brain experiences trauma and needs to then process it. Everything, the memories get consolidated, the identity updates with the new information, and neurologically everything sort of recalibrates and then settles. So you might experience sleep disturbances, mood disturbances, a lack of appetite or just a change in appetite. You might eat more from the stress. That's the first 4 weeks. These things don't typically interfere with your ability to manage your life. Mm-hmm. And they tend to go away after the first 4 weeks. If, and I'm going to give you four categories of symptoms, if these categories of symptoms progress past the 30-day mark and interfere with living a life, that's when PTSD, and you and I, just from having this conversation, cannot diagnose anyone with PTSD, right. Obviously. If any of this resonates with anyone who's listening, you definitely need to reach out to a professional who's trained in diagnosing mm-hmm. PTSD.
Yeah.
But these are the four categories you can start looking at. And there are PTSD self-tests online that are hugely beneficial. That's how I ended up with my diagnosis, because I was in talk therapy for years, getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, and I started to, yeah, it was awful, because when mm-hmm. you just keep telling your story over and over, you're not really going to get anywhere. You need right. to get out of the past mm-hmm. and into mm-hmm. the present.
right.
That's a whole other topic, but right. What I ended up doing, because I was so much worse from talk therapy, I started researching, trying to figure out what was wrong with me, and I stumbled upon PTSD research and this PTSD self-test that was predicated upon the DSM outline of what the category of symptoms are for PTSD. And the DSM is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that psychiatrists in the psychology industry use to make diagnoses. Of the 22 questions on that test, I answered positively to 20 of them. Wow. And then I took them to my therapist and said, do you think this could be what's wrong with me?
Right.
And, you know, at which point he just looked at me and said, you know, I said, do you think this could be what's wrong with me? Do you think I have PTSD? And in myself, I'm thinking, like in my head, I'm thinking, say no, say no, say no, because I didn't right. want a label.
Sure.
And he just like paused for a second and then said, what is PTSD?
Oh,
at which
God.
Point I knew I'd been working with the wrong person for quite a long time.
Wow.
So yeah. it's really important yeah. to have a trauma-informed or trauma-trained professional so that they can identify these four categories of symptoms. Number one, arousal. With PTSD, we have hyperarousal, right? We are overly on every minute searching for the danger. So hyperarousal means, mm-hmm. you know, it's many of us have heard of like veterans won't sit with their back to the door.
Yes.
Right? They want
yes.
to be able to see, mm-hmm. right? That's
right.
hyperarousal. So hyperarousal is one. Avoidance. You will not go anywhere near the subject or the actual location or anything else that reminds you of your trauma. So So literally, I came out of the hospital and I would not speak about what had happened to me. And I went into a fit of rage if anyone brought it up because it was just too overwhelming. So avoidance.
Yes.
Re-experiencing those intrusive thoughts where you just keep going over and over and over it, maybe because you just can't believe what happened, or maybe because you know there was a moment that if you had done something differently, and you just have to keep sort of going over where was that moment, and usually berating yourself for not finding it during the time. But also re-experiencing can be nightmares. I had the same recurring nightmare for years.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's three. And then the fourth is mood dysregulation, where you just cannot hold and center in a mood for a particular period of time, a mood that would make you functional, right? So it's hyper arousal, avoidance, re-experiencing, and mood swings or mood dysregulation. And if you have any experience of those four categories for more than 30 days and it interferes with your ability to live your life, you really, really, and let's get back to the diagnosis aspect here, because while I was crossing my fingers that my therapist would say, no, you don't have PTSD, when he obviously was not in a position to help me know the truth or get a diagnosis, I did research and find a trauma-trained professional, went and took the self-test to her. She did a diagnostic assessment with me, and there was my label. And the thing is, I thought I didn't want the label. Melissa, it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Because
I understand
suddenly,
that.
It wasn't my fault. And I knew, like, there was a name for it, and that meant I could start to figure out what to do about it. So I just always like making that point, because I'm not pro-labels, but I do think they have their place.
Oh, I agree with you. Totally, because once you know what something is, and you know when it rings true. Everybody knows this. We know when things ring true, right? We can feel it. Our intuition says that's it. Then you have a starting point. You can start somewhere. Okay, so now I know this is what it is. I can find out what caused it, and now what do I do about it, right? And
that's right.
You know how many people that I know have had traumatic things happen in their past and suffer from panic attacks and have to be on medication, you know, because they don't understand. And a panic attack could just come out of nowhere, and it could be completely something unrelated. And if you would speak to them only, and I can only say this because I've had these conversations with them, that they can correlate it back to a trauma that happened earlier or in their past that maybe they haven't dealt with.
Definitely, because a lot of times we don't even know what that original trauma was. The fact is, the baseline definition of trauma is any experience that feels less than good.
Right.
Now, when you look at trauma like that, we are all trauma survivors.
Right. It's true. Wow.
It is.
I didn't realize it was, I didn't know it was that broad. Anything that feels, you know, that happened that feels less than good could be associated as a trauma. Because we do. That's part of why we're having this conversation. We think trauma has to be this horrific event that you know, that gets like news coverage, basically. And it doesn't. Like you said, a simple car accident could be a trauma for you. And you might not even be that physically hurt.
That's very true. And there's also the difference between big T and little T trauma. You know, little T trauma is like that day that just didn't go the way you wanted it to. It was stressful. But you go to sleep, your body, your mind resets, you start over at a different vibration tomorrow, and life goes on. Big T trauma is the life-altering trauma, the developmental trauma when you're a child. You know, the utter betrayal in a relationship when you're an adult, or any of the, I mean, whatever you can think of that can be traumatic is traumatic. And those aspects, big T versus little T, everything starts to add up, right? You may be managing all of your little T trauma, and then a big T trauma that maybe you could have dealt with if all things being equal, But because you've had all these other smaller things happening, you just simply don't have the capacity to cope, which is the next level up of what trauma is. It's an experience that overwhelms your ability to cope. Right. And I like to use the metaphor of being a pitcher, right, with all my clients. Look, you are a pitcher. A pitcher can only take so much of a liquid. And then right. when it's full to the brim, if you add in even one more teaspoon, it's going to overflow.
Right. That's true. Yeah. Because you can only absorb and take in so much. So when you discovered that this is what it is, your PTSD, what was the next step that you did?
Research. I'm a research girl.
Okay. I am too. It's a joke. My sister and they like, all right, ask Wikipedia. Cause I'm always like, I don't know that. Let me find out. So I get you.
Because
I feel you on that.
That's the thing. And there's, you know, this was, you know, the early 2000s, there was not a lot online, and what was online was very clinical. And I had PTSD, which means you don't sleep much. You're sleep deprived. You have a horrible time concentrating. Reading comprehension is affected. I had to reread these big, long words in these psychological articles. It was like, I don't even understand what I'm reading. Things are much easier now because there's a lot of information about how to heal. There's everything from conventional approaches that include things like cognitive behavior therapy, dialectical behavior therapy, and acceptance and commitment therapy, and eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. I mean, there are all kinds of conventional things. None of that worked for me. So I went off into researching the other side of things, energy psychology, for example, hypnosis, for example, neuro-linguistic programming, for example. And the reasons I got trained in hypnosis and NLP is because they saved my life. So I just started banging around trying anything that might help me until I found what resonated with me. And I think that's really what we all have to do is there's no one way to heal. PTSD is not like bronchitis. And pretty much 99% of us can take penicillin and in 3 days your bronchitis feels better, right? But PTSD, like trauma, is an intensely personal experience. We all have a similar profile of symptoms, but the recovery process is like a snowflake. Everybody is unique. So you really have to just do enough research and try enough modalities to find the place where you can settle and say, okay, the work's going to be hard, but if I'm going to do it anywhere, I feel comfortable with this modality and this practitioner. And I'm good to go.
Okay. And is it easy nowadays to find a practitioner to help deal with PTSD if that's what you have?
I would say yes and no. I would say yes. I mean, there are thousands of people who say they're trained to help with PTSD. That having been said, you know, I went through an intense training for my hypnosis certification and my NLP, but they're like one-day courses. So that same person can come out and say, yes, I can help with major fear, but you need to like look into the background. Where were they trained? How in-depth was their training, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with coaching. And I think that's always been true, even in the conventional model. Obviously, I mean, the therapist that I was with was the head of a major institute in New York City. And yet when I presented with this PTSD self-test, he had no clue what I was talking about. Wow. So I think there are a lot of people who say they can help and they may be able to help. And it's really on you, the client, to do the research and interview enough people so that you partner with the person you really believe in, because most of you probably already know this, but 90% of what helps people feel better is the therapeutic relationship. So you really have to trust and believe in the person who's helping you. And there are some people who have no clue about trauma, but they have a certificate that says they can help you, or they have a degree. But I'm literally working with a client right now who's in Australia, and the way they approach PTSD is ridiculous. I've got another client in Finland and also in Ireland and England. They all have a less organized, less proactive approach to PTSD recovery than we do here in the States. So I think the most important thing is to find the person and the modality that you resonate with, because the better you feel, the more you're going to heal.
Right. Okay. That's great. Yeah. We're going to take our second break right now because I want to delve more into this when we come back. So stay tuned, and I'll be back in 2 minutes with Michelle Rosenthal. Welcome back. So Michelle, I was thinking during the break, you were talking about your clients that you're seeing from all over the world. So would you say that we have a long ways to go to sort of catch up and get it together with dealing with mental health and trauma and all that stuff?
That's a really good question. I think, yeah, I think we do.
I do
partly
too.
I think it's education. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough trauma education about what is trauma and what are the signs and what are the ways to treat it. And partly I think there's a big divide between the conventional approach and the alternative approach. And I in a perfect world, would like to see more collaboration from those two sides. And then the other thing is there's no support in the insurance world for the alternative approach. You know, if you want to go do 20 sessions of talking about your therapy, which from a neurological neuroscience perspective just activates all of those neural pathways and strengthens them. So for anybody who's been in talk therapy forever and notices that you're feeling worse instead of better, I mean, there is a neurological and scientific explanation for that. Well, insurance will cover you to go do that, but they won't cover you to go do, you know, energy medicine energy psychology, for example, when that actually, from my perspective, has a better chance of helping you in a quicker, less destructive way. So I think we have a long way to go, but I do think that America is farther along than most of the rest of the world in that space, in that at least we do have a lot of practitioners and more conventional practitioners who are opening up to the idea that maybe there's a combination here, because I think talk therapy is useful. You know, I have to always make sure that I say that, because I think there's a lot of power in putting language to what's in your head and getting it out of your head and into the world. And certainly I started there and I gained that benefit from it. I think the problem is nobody tells you when to stop talking. And if it benefits their model for you to keep talking, I think sometimes we're all encouraged to talk too much about the wrong things.
Right. Right. You're going over it and over it again and again. And you're right. It is your neural pathways. You're strengthening that story as you're talking and talking and talking about it. I mean, it makes complete sense to me when you say it like that. Like I got like a ding, ding. Yes, of course. That makes sense. I mean, when I talk about manifestation, right, what we don't want to do is when we want to manifest something, we don't want to talk about not having it. We don't want to focus our energy there because we're not attracting what we want. We want to talk about it in that it's coming. We already have it. It's here. It's ours. We just have to claim it. So yeah, that makes sense to me. And I do think, like what we said earlier in the show, that so many more things are trauma and we don't realize it. Like, you know, because you and I have talked privately, going through my divorce was traumatic for me. It was very traumatic. And I was emotionally abused in that relationship and I didn't know it. He was a gaslighter and I didn't know what that was until after I was out of it. And And it was very, very traumatic. And, you know, the avoidance was a big thing for me. The avoiding going to where the city, where I lived. I mean, all of that, you know, I still don't even want to go there because it was traumatic. So I totally understand. But I would never have associated it as a PTSD symptom. Never before.
And see, that's what I mean. You know, there is a lot of evidence that PTSD can come from narcissistic abuse, for example, right? Mm-hmm. It can come from acrimonious divorce or high conflict divorce. Mm-hmm. And PTSD, one of the biggest precursors for post-traumatic stress disorder is childhood neglect. Mm-hmm. Now, that's somebody who they haven't said a word to you, they haven't done anything to you, they haven't laid a hand on you. Right. But childhood neglect is one of the biggest precursors for post-traumatic stress disorder. So you really have to open the lens to what trauma actually is, because it's not the small scope that most of us think of. It's much wider than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody's listening is thinking that maybe you do have a PTSD or there is trauma, then I would definitely trust your intuition and talk to somebody like Michelle, you know, who could help you, because we have to be our own advocates. We have to be our own advocates to take care of ourselves. Because, you know, what happens is when we don't, life gets more difficult and we do manifest, I believe, dis-ease in our bodies because our bodies need to be healed. And that's why, you know, Michelle and I have spoken and she knows. And I'm going through some health things right now and I'm looking back. I'm thinking, did something not get processed properly? I'm all in for doing the work. Everybody knows that. I listen to my show every week. I'm always doing the work. So if I need to do more inner work, then you know what? I'll do it.
Well, and I think that should be the clarion call for all of us, right? We're here. Mm-hmm. We're having this human experience. I don't think it's supposed to be easy, because then you don't learn anything, right?
Right.
So you need to do the work and look forward to those plateaus where you've done enough work to coast a little while and then do a little more work and coast at that level for a while.
So it's
one of the things I admire about you. And the other thing is, Melissa, you do the work at a very high level of vibration and energy. And that's a very beautiful thing, because a lot of people, do you remember Pooh's Corner? You know, there's mm-hmm. Christopher Robin and Piglet and Pooh and Owl and Eeyore, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of Eeyores in the world. But when you're doing the work from that Eeyore place, and look, we all have days we feel like Eeyore. The idea is to figure out, how do I feel more like Tigger, right? How do I start bouncing around to get some energy going and to see things from a different perspective so I can get myself out of here?
You
are very much at that high energy of love and light, even while you're doing the work, which is such a great example.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's why I love having the show. And I love having people like you on, because that's also me doing the work, because I learn from all the experts that I bring on my show that teach me something new, that make me think of something in a different way, that maybe a light bulb goes off in my head or I'll get an aha moment. I love that. I love those moments. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so great having somebody like you on. And for those listening right now, so what would you tell somebody who's thinking, you know, this is resonating with me. Maybe that's why I can't recover from this illness and I get so stressed out so easily and I feel like I'm barely holding it together. What would you tell them, what should be the next thing besides the researching, looking for somebody professional to work with? They can go and look for your books. What should they do?
Well, that's a great question. I think any or all of the above. First of all, let's just say, because I have some clients that say to me, I don't ask for help. And to that, I say, you're not going to get anywhere unless you ask for help.
Yeah,
because PTSD, you cannot be the client and the professional at the same time. It's just not possible. Even you know, even if you have read a lot, you need someone who's not emotionally involved in it to guide you through and facilitate whatever process is right for you. Mm-hmm. So I would say, number one, do your research. Number two, find a professional who can help you. If you're not in a position to do that, I've written 3 books about how to heal. And so definitely you can hop onto mytraumacoach.com. The books are prescriptive. So that means that they have action-oriented steps. They come with Your Life After Trauma is a book all about identity and how to heal the identity crisis that trauma creates. It comes with a slew of complementary resources, templates, audio files to activate the program that's this 3-step process that's in the book. Heal Your PTSD is, it literally came because I used to write a healing thought of the day for my community, and people kept asking me to turn it into a book, and a publisher reached out to me and said, do you have a book you'd like to write? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And so Heal Your PTSD are short 150-word healing thoughts, so you can read them all at once or one a day, but they each have a concept and an action step so that you can start reclaiming your power, because essentially that is what trauma recovery is all about. It's making that transformation from powerless, which is what trauma causes you to be, to powerful, which is what recovery guides you into. And so mytraumacoach.com also has a brain training audio that you can start to use to train your brain to create peace and calm. And that's just free on the site.
That's great. I love those brain training audio things. I listen to them a lot as I fall asleep. So that's good to know that you have one for free for people. And you said something, and I posted this a couple of weeks ago because I thought it resonated so well. Somebody wrote this. It said, the inability to receive support from others is a trauma response. Your, quote, I don't need anyone, I'll just do it all myself, end quote, conditioning is a survival tactic. And I thought, that's really interesting. So
that
asking
is interesting.
For help is important.
It is. And the thing is, I admire the impulse to do it on your own. I really do, because I think part of the trauma survivor conundrum is that we are afraid that we can't depend on ourselves. We're afraid that we can't protect ourselves. And so the flip side of that is, well, I'm going to do everything by myself. That way I can prove to myself that I can do it. And I wholeheartedly endorse that, just not in the area of trauma recovery, because it's like, I have a client who says, this trauma stuff, it's like I'm dragging 50 elephants behind me. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, nobody could drag 50 elephants alone. There's just no way.
There's no way.
So, yeah.
So where you are now from where you started, are you still, do you still have symptoms of PTSD, or does it ever fully go away? How does that work?
100% gone. They've been 100% gone since 2007.
Wow.
Even though in 2013, I had a massive medical trigger and I was in the ICU with sepsis. Things were good. And you want to know a funny story? This is too much to get into right now. I've written about it in Your Life After Trauma. I was working on that book when I went into the hospital, and we added an extra chapter so that I could write about what happens when we get triggered if we've done really good healing work, because I was completely fine. I had this massive trigger, came out of the hospital. My mother drove me straight from the hospital to my hypnotherapist's office because I wanted to get in there and have do whatever you need to do to make sure my brain stays as strong and as healed as possible. Because now I'm prophylactic, right? I still work my recovery every day. I have created a lifestyle to support my recovery gains, because you don't get to your recovery and then you don't have to manage it. You want to maintain everything that you've done to get there. Just the way you maintain your nourishment of your body, you have to do that for your mind and your soul. So I still do that every day, and I think that's why everything has stuck so well.
No, I love that. No, that's really important. And we only have like a minute left. So is there anything, Michelle, you think is super important that we need to know or you want to leave us with before we wrap up?
Yes, I think the most important thing for everyone to remember is you have enormous healing potential. The goal is learning to access it. And for that, you need to dig deep. But you can do this. I really have seen so many people, myself included, move forward to a place and a life and an identity that is gorgeous after trauma. And so I do believe that there is that possibility for everyone.
Well, thank you so much. And for those of you guys listening, you know, you can, if you have questions, right, Michelle, they can reach out to you on mytraumacoach.com and ask you any questions.
Absolutely. Email me there.
Yeah, and if they want to work with you or they want to look at your book, so please check Michelle's work out. Thank you so much, Michelle. And you guys, thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave, wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.